So I would love to start with something directly from your director's statement. You have a personal connection, obviously, to World War II with your grandfather. Can you share with us not only his legacy to the family, but also that first reunion that you guys attended and what that meant to you?
Yeah, I mean, it was back probably around 2001. I had a few years been living in New York City at that time, and they had called and said, we're going to England. And I knew that my grandmother and grandfather had participated in reunions in the past, but I didn't really know what they were about. And I knew he had something to do with the war. So I'm in my 20s, and you know, they're sort of footing the bill for a trip to England, and I'm like, yes, of course, no problem. So that was the beginning of it all. When I went over there, it was a full week of basically the English people touring the Americans around and constantly saying thank you. You know, people would come out of their homes on the side of the street with our buses passing by and waving. And I was just taken back. I was like, what is this all about? And one of the final days was going to the airbase that he was stationed at, and that was Hardwick. And that was a full-on day of touring the museum there, meeting the locals that lived around the base. And I knew that I was really part of something special, and that I'd never seen this before. And my grandfather was involved with it. So at that point, I had started then going to local reunions with him. I think we started again in early 2000. And we were, I must have gone to 10, 12 reunions with him over that decade. And then, you know, it was really where I got involved with the group and became an officer and helped them any way possible. And it was really cool with my grandparents there and my parents and then me helping out with the group. And then one day they wanted to make a documentary. So that's how I sort of got involved with the whole thing.
When you get to the documentary stage and you're building kind of the what you want to showcase on film, as far as getting the interviews, can you talk about, you know, getting with these gentlemen and women as well and how the interview process went? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, the age-wise, this must have been, you know, you want to get them as quickly as possible.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, even if you go back to that first reunion, what I did have at that point was my grandfather. And my grandfather was a bombardier navigator in the 93rd Bomb Group. So I had his stories on a little handy cam back then that I recorded and put a little family video together. But I knew that, you know, once we got to this more serious project that the 93rd wanted to raise money, they wanted to push it out there and let everybody know about the 93rd story, I knew I was going to have to get somebody other than my grandfather. So, of course, attending reunions, most of the veterans that go to the reunions are interested to talk about it. They know that they may be approached and have, and, you know, maybe discuss about what went on during the war. Some veterans are not like that. They want to keep it to themselves, which we respect. And most of those veterans maybe don't go to reunions as much. And maybe it's just families at home trying to get the stories out of their grandfather or father about the war. So I knew I was in a good place with the reunions because that was one step where I knew I could start approaching people. So early on, some of the interviews in the film are actually from 10, 12 years ago. And it was really where I first started to just go to reunions and set up a little corner and set up my camera and lights. And if any veteran was interested, I'd sit down and talk to them. And I didn't really have a focus because I was just recording their history. But it really came in handy later on for the film, for this film, Return to Hardwick, because I could go back and as I was chronicling the history of the group, I could kind of pinpoint some veterans. And it was very interesting because some veterans were early in the war and some were later. So I went back and sort of organized it all and what little bits people were saying and try to inject them into the film. So that's pretty much how I got the reunion, the interviews for the film. We did have one other big session because we knew we were getting close to maybe doing a film. And at one reunion, I think we had about 8 veterans interested and came into a room that we had specifically for the interviews We had, of course, a better camera, and we had better equipment and lighting that we could really capture. So it's a little bit of a mix of the film.
You opened the film with a beautiful prologue that was written by Ed. Can you talk about that specific piece by him, but also wanting to open the film with it? I thought it was a very, it set the stage beautifully.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's one of those things where I knew, and maybe we'll talk about this a little later, but Michael Cudlitz, his involvement in the film, and that was going to be sort of an interesting sort of introduction. I believe I was seeing Peter Jackson's film, They Shall Not Grow Old, and he had an introduction in that film. And I was doing mine around the same time, and I just felt like Michael would be perfect for that. But then after that, I wanted to kind of slowly get into the film and maybe get the perspective of what it was like to be on the base or be in a plane, and try to set that stage. So as you do in documentaries, you do research and you start reading a lot and you start uncovering things. And I started looking back at some of the old newsletters that the 93rd puts out. They still put it out today, actually. So this was sort of early 90s, mid-90s, that they started this sort of internal 93rd newsletter. And I think it was in the second edition of the newsletter that I think it was like volume 2 or something, that at the top of this newsletter was Ed's story, his article that he wrote. And a lot of veterans would always write in stories, things that happened from the war. And this one just set the stage perfectly. And in the article, it's much longer. And I did, unfortunately, have to kind of trim it down for time and be able to get, you know, sort of a 3-minute open rather than, I think I did actually cut the full thing and it ended up being 8 minutes long. But I knew I could go and grab some of those elements. As he talked about the B-24, the Collins Foundation with the plane that's in there, and I knew I would be able to visit them and talk to them and get in the plane and get these shots that he's talking about. I mean, he was a radio operator. I knew that station in the B-24. I could slip in there in the Witchcraft B-24 and shoot that area that he's talking about. I had my shots from Hardwick. He talks about the farmland. He talks about the runway. These are the actual things that he's talking about in his article, and I'm getting very excited to be able to set this stage and open this up for the film. So I do think Ed, unfortunately, I did find out, passed away sort of in the middle of me working on it. And I didn't know Ed. I don't know his family. I haven't attempted to reach out to them. I got a return to sender letter, so I'm still on the hunt to find their family, and they may not even know that Ed's story is in this film. So I think that would be exciting to one day to talk to them.
Wow. Well, you brought it up, Michael's narration. Yeah, tell us about getting Michael to be on board, and I mean, obviously his connection to this story and him bringing to life it in Band of Brothers. I mean, that must have been really special.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was sort of a friend of a friend. We had the president of the 93rd Bomb Group had an advertising friend, and that person was able to reach out to someone who knew Michael. So, yeah, it was probably, once we talked about it at a reunion, and I said, you know, it'd be nice to get sort of a voice for the film, maybe, again, for that introduction of the movie, to maybe have this authority step in and sort of help us out. And someone brought up Michael Cudlitz, and we reached out to him, and he called me back personally and said, what do you got? I want to help out. There was no, you know, he volunteered his entire time, and I'll explain that in a little bit, but he just said, where do you need me to go? And it sort of jumped me back a little bit because I'm like, wow, this guy's on board. He's going to be on. Okay, let me figure this out. So I had the introduction in mind with Michael Cudlitz, which was shot at the American Air Power Museum here in Long Island. And that was cool. We got a B-25 in the background. I wrote some text. We actually had a writer from the 93rd write the big bulk of it. Nick Temer actually wrote that introduction, and that's what Michael read. So that was easy. He showed up. We got him in there. We spent the day there, and he was super cool about it. And, you know, he just, the last thing he said before we left, he said, let me know if you need any help with some narration. And at that point, I didn't really think about narration because I wanted to do a lot of stuff with just interviews only. And I said, I think I can get through this, but thank you. I'll keep it in mind. And about a year later, I called him and I said, I need you to narrate because I was running into some issues with the history of the 93rd. And as you see in a lot of films, to get through it quick, to explain everything, you kind of just need narration to do that. I really wanted to keep the history like that, but really hold on to those interviews for when we come back to the veterans and the second and third generation members. So he literally, Michael kept in touch with us over those few years as we started finishing the film. And even after the film was finished, our first official screening was at the Mighty 8th Air Force Museum in Savannah, Georgia. And he showed up and he was there for the screening. We had about 300 people there, watched the film. And he's been to other museums and some film festivals with me. Even today, as we do interviews and PR for the film, he's on some of the Zoom calls. So he has been amazing, and we're really happy to have him on board.
One of the elements of the film that I was really blown away by and was so thankful to kind of see the connection point was you bring up the impact of the P-51s, Mustangs, the way the 93rd was able to accomplish, for instance, going to Berlin. Can you talk about getting into that information? And you know, that's so different than necessarily looking at a bomber group. I mean, you do a wonderful job of showing us why the P-51s were important, like how they changed the war.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that going to reunions has always come up, you know. You'll get into a little discussion with some veterans sitting at a table one evening, which I always love to do. It's the most amazing thing when you go to these reunions, and you'll hear that come up every now. These stories will come up, and it's something that always reoccurred. And, of course, I did my own research and some of the books that I've read and some of the history that I needed to know to put the film together. And I knew that I wanted to have a section in there because as I even started thinking back, this goes to my own mortality, if you believe it or not. My grandfather survived 35 missions in the war, and he was in there, and I don't want to say it was a lucky time because I don't think any of the time was lucky, but if the time that he was supposed to be in, it actually might have been an advantage because the P-51 was out in late 43, early 44, and really heavy into the summer of 44. So my grandfather was there at that time. And a lot of guys were surviving war missions, and it was because of the P-51 was able to escort them, go to target with them, and come back. And I say go to target, they weren't actually over the drop zone because they would go off and strafe other areas. But as soon as the bombers were done, the P-51s would come back in and join them and escort them all the way back home. The fighters before that couldn't do that. So when I say it's my own mortality, I believe they were, as my grandfather and many other veterans said, little friends, the little angels that would follow them and protect them. He survived, and that's why I'm here today. So I really felt it was important to maybe put that into the film.
So cool. I've got to ask, one of the elements of the film that I was emotionally impacted by was seeing the families, but also them talking to the younger generations and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Right. Can you talk about the over the years of going back to England and seeing how there's that great point where one of the guys is explaining how, you know, there's 76 people on this reunion, 56 of them, you know, weren't involved in the war. Can you talk about the importance of that?
Well, I tell you, that's really the 93rd organization and all of the other bomb groups, I would say, and I'm sure fighter groups out there, people that were involved in the European fight. That is a mission of most groups now. It's for the younger generation to step up. And the 93rd, even a decade ago or more, really made it a point. I do show a little bit of that from a reunion. I believe it was in Dallas, where Fernley Smith, who was the president and veteran from the 93rd, talked about how, you know, these guys aren't going to be around forever. And he wants to see this thing keep going. even if he passes away. In essence, that's what he was talking about. So, you know, he looks over at me, and I actually have some extra video of that where he's like pointing right to me at the camera, and he's pointing to some of the other young folks, and he's like, yeah, how do you like your new job, basically. So it's really those things where he kind of, you know, opened up their arms, the veterans opened up their arms and brought them into the process. And it's in their bylaws to basically educate future generations also. So the film, in essence, is about that. And it's to get involved with the history of our history, you know, as a country, and what involvement it had over in Europe, but to also bring that into the future. And those guys, a few veterans still do go to reunions with us, thank God, but we know that they're not going to be around there forever. And it's about us continuing that and what their values were and what they wanted the 93rd to stand for. So the clip that you're talking about was literally right at the end, and that was Al Ash, who used to be the president of the 93rd. He was one of the earlier pilots that flew with the 93rd, and he really pointed that out because we did have a large group, but they were mostly, you know, the mothers, fathers, grandchildren of these veterans that were on that trip. So it was pretty important for that to be said.
You know, we discussed how you use the prologue to open the film up. Can you talk about the importance of Cambridge to you and making that really, I think, the, you know, how to close out this this look into it and the importance of showing Cambridge? I thought it was really beautifully shot, and it was poignant to see just that aspect of it, the remembrance element.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of a natural element in one of these trips. If you're ever able to go on one of these trips, it sort of is a 3-day process. We start out at Norwich, which is the largest city there, with a lot of bomb groups, mainly 2nd Air Division, which 2nd Air Division houses all these bomb groups with B-24s around the city of Norwich. So you sort of tour Norwich first, and as you saw in the film, there's a memorial there, a library, a living memorial that you can visit, specifically the 2nd Air Division. You can go to the old castle there. There's restaurants that we go to. And you really get sort of that old town feel of touring this medieval city. And then the next day is more towards the base in Hardwick, and really spending the entire day just driving around in a bus, seeing all these spots. I mean, I was able to go to the spot where my grandfather's hut stood. I have pictures. I'm standing there with the picture and then pulling the picture down and saying, yep, it was right there, and going out to the runway. And the third day is Cambridge. And that's basically set up for the U.S. Observation of Memorial Day. So it coincides with that. The local Air Force there from an American base come out, as you saw in the film, and help with the wreaths and handing those off to members, to veterans, to family members, to specific groups. So it happens every year there. It's a tradition, and it's the best. I mean, how better can you get with that setting? It's such a beautiful cemetery, and the way that they've laid that out. There's also a museum in the back over there, so it was just natural to pick up the camera because that was part of our trip, that we were just going to be there doing that. The best thing is that it actually linked to one of my characters in the film. And I don't know if I knew at the beginning of the trip that the character that we do focus on, that his uncle was buried in that cemetery. But as you go back and look at the footage and you start creating the structure for the film, you really understand, you start, you know, figuring out these sort of connections that need to happen for the viewer to say, well, you've introduced this guy 2 other times, like, what's his third act? And this was a really good third act for him to be able to walk from the ceremony just down the steps, and the grave is sitting right there. So it was really necessary to be able to capture the cemetery in Cambridge there. And Duxford is close, and it's a really great museum that you can explore, and they have all the planes in the world there.
So I want to end with something that I found really adorable, I guess is the best word. You're when you have the at the very end where you're having the clips, kind of like a, you know, most people would think of like a blooper reel. With your connections to your long history of editing in food films, I love that this film ends with these soldiers talking about hot dogs and sandwiches and just getting through the food element of life. That must have been really cool.
Yeah, you've done your homework. I have worked on a lot of cable programming, specifically the Food Network, which I've enjoyed a lot. And, of course, in my part-time job, I do work on these films and history stuff, and World War II is one of my passions, so it's nice to be able to work on that as well. Yeah, I was finding a lot of interesting stuff from these veterans, and I said, I got to put something together. I said, I do stay and watch credits most of the time. I was taught by a film instructor back in film school to say, no, you got to stay for the credits. And sometimes I would see people that I know up in the credits and say, you have to stay for the whole thing. But I wanted to make this so people would stay and they also get a little information. And there is some great little anecdotes, I guess, from some of the veterans and their time there. So you really get to kind of step in a little bit of what it was like them eating something or being somewhere, or just like having that little bit of insight and information from them. How better can you get from their mouth talking about it? If people do pick up the DVD or Blu-ray that is out now on Amazon or some other outlets, I do include a deleted scene in there that is, I think in the film they do talk about going on a mission and getting ready for a mission and the gas load that they may encounter, high or low, depending on how long the mission is. But I create an extended scene on the DVD because that originally went about 4 minutes. I cut a whole thing together from waking up to getting out of the plane and taking off. Mm. And I really thought that was necessary to kind of give people an insight of what these guys went through. And again, it's from their mouth. So it's awesome, to be able to get to sit through the credits. And then you get to watch these guys give this little tidbit of information.
Well, Michael, thank you for doing this. It was a pleasure to watch, and I think you did it in a way where it wasn't just a bunch of information. We really got to know these men and women who impacted our life. And as you said, we probably wouldn't be here in many circumstances if it wasn't for gentlemen like that we're doing this. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Really had a good time.
Perfect. And also, love sabbaticals, so glad that you produced that as well.
Oh, yeah. I did work on that one. That was a while back. That's right.
Well, guys, you have a good day, and yeah.